Hey, Marvin, glad to join us. We're just getting ready to call the meeting door.
Cool.
Yay, awesome. I'm glad. Good stuff, guys. Thanks for coming.
Martin.
This is...
Hello.
That was quick.
Short meeting. That was short.
He's like, well, that was too much welcome.
Nonetheless, this is Chairman Nathan Wakefield calling the meeting to order at 7:41 p.m. Eastern Time. We move to a roll call. Nathan Wakefield, I am present. Louis Saradek. For record purposes, can you say that you're here, Louis?
Yeah, here.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Warren is absent. Bob Newman?
Here.
Thank you, Bob. Noel Yee? Noel is absent. Shavela Schwab?
I am here.
Thank you, Shavela. Mike Sullivan?
Present.
Afton Benson? Afton said she was going to try to make it, but she had an appointment. Aaron Stevens?
Present.
Martin Frost? Welcome back, Marvin.
Yeah, thanks.
Hi, here. Jim, I got Martin's here. Jim Maxwell?
Here.
And our returning Marvin Ong?
Yeah, here.
All right, thank you, Marvin. Great, guys. Moving on to approval of the agenda. Would someone like to make a motion to approve tonight's agenda?
Bob will.
Bob.
Bob edges that out. However, we have room for a second. Does somebody want to second this?
I'll second Shavela.
Nice. Thank you, Shavela. Moving to discussion. Any discussion about tonight's agenda? Only thing I'd like to mention is that there is a contract on the agenda that some grammatical things are being kind of poked at, so we might... update that before the motion is made for said contract. That's the video editing contract. Any other discussion? Moving to a vote, does anybody oppose the approval of tonight's agenda? Would anyone like to abstain? Agenda is approved. Moving on to minutes. Would someone like to make a motion to approve last month's board meeting minutes, the minutes from November 11th, 2015?
Shavela will.
Thank you, Shavela. Do we have a second?
Louis, I'll have a second.
I think I heard Louis, so I'm going to go with that. Thank you, Louis. Any discussion? Moving to vote. Does anybody oppose the approval of these minutes? Did anyone abstain? Minutes are approved unanimously. Moving on to reports. Financial report with Afton Benson. She did not submit anything to me. I know she's been working on a few things behind the scenes, particularly with El Paso and finalizing a few other long overdue Quebec things, but... I guess she was not able to join us tonight. Any discussion? Moving right along to 2016 IJA Festival report with Jim Maxwell. There is a report there attached that Jim submitted. And we move on to discussion. Tell us what's going on, Jim.
As I pointed out in the report, we had a very successful site visits earlier this month. Steve Wiswell and I and Mike Sullivan met with various representatives from Destination El Paso. We saw the lay of the land, and as we already knew from the proposal, everything is extremely convenient and compact, so it's going to be really good in that regard. We located some really good places to eat in the area, in the immediate area, as well as a little further out. I think it's pretty much exactly tailor-made for us in that regard. The facilities are nice, very standard for a convention center, but fairly new, I would say. It's a nice facility. What else? The Plaza Theater is unbelievable. In terms of space, it's huge, so we won't have any issues that we had, say, in Quebec. Also, just the lobby and the house of the auditorium itself are just stunningly beautiful. So that's going to be really nice for our jugglers. The Camino Real is our primary hotel. It's very nice. Also, the lobby and the dome room and where the bar is really, really nice. So it's going to be the nicest facility, I think, that we've had in a while. We also took tours of the DoubleTree and Holiday Inn Express. Didn't get much of a tour. Just looked at a couple of rooms for those, and they seem extremely nice as well. The DoubleTree is a little closer, at about a 5-minute walk, while the Holiday Inn's a little further out. But both of them are a fairly easy walk. I was really happy with the Tricky Falls venue. That seemed absolutely tailor-made for our purposes with Renegade. No concerns there. I think that's going to be perfect. So some of the problems that we ran into is we were looking for outdoor spaces for the busking competition and parade. And just because of the layout there, and the one place that would be ideal for the busking competition would be the San Jacinto Square, which is still under renovation. It's way so at this point, I am not planning on having a busking competition unless we check in a couple of months and they've made really great progress and think that the San Jacinto Square will be open by then. I would like some feedback on board members and other people from Board Plus on that. But at the moment, busking competition is not a priority for me, nor is the parade, simply because it would be it doesn't make sense to have a parade that goes to nowhere. In terms of fire juggling, we can do that out on the patio. That's going to be no problem. There's somebody at Destination El Paso that will work with the city and the fire marshal to get permits for that. I was thinking probably two nights of fire juggling. I haven't really decided. let's see, anything else? Brunch, we're waiting on quotes from both the Camino Real and the Convention Center to give us 5 days of brunch. Wow. Okay. The challenge there is getting an accurate count and not ordering too much food. So that's just something we're going to have to try and manage based on our pre-reg numbers.
When do they need a number?
I'm sorry, what was that?
When would they need numbers for counts for the food?
We'll find that out, but I suspect about a week before.
Okay, so pre-reg, you know, sounds like a reasonable thing, or plus a few.
Right, and if you'll notice, the numbers that we sort of started with there are 200, 300, 500, 500, 500. And that's for Tuesday through Saturday. Personally, I think that those numbers are too high. I don't. But again, I'd like everybody else's input on that. I think that there are going to be a significant number of people that either choose to have hotels, they get up before the brunch, and they will have breakfast at their hotel, and of course if there's at the Holiday Inn, they get complimentary breakfast. But I also think that there are going to be people that will just choose to do lunch on their own.
When would the brunch be available? What hours?
We had talked about 10 to 12. I think we might want to extend it to 1 if possible, just because of the nature of some of our guests who tend to get up and around later in the morning. But right now we're talking 10 to 12.
Sounds good.
Yeah, good idea.
I agree.
All right. Budget, I worked with Mike, and he pointed out a couple of things that I had forgotten on the revenue side, and I also played a little bit with the admissions prices. I left the early bird packages just as they are, because those are the primary packages stay the same, but I did take up all of the other categories slightly to help try and close our budget gap, and right now we're about $2,000 in the black. However, there are a lot of details that I still have not put into the budget, so I like having that slush right now. But you know, each month as we go on, the budget's going to get fine-tuned a little bit more. Does anybody have any questions so far?
Do you have a time frame when you'll have an initial operating budget that you want us to kind of vote on, Jim?
Well, the budget that's up there now is an operating budget.
Okay.
I don't know what is typical with the board, you know, when do you normally vote on a budget? I mean, it seems to me we can vote on the budget now, but at some point, I mean, the budget's going to be ever evolving, so.
Yeah, definitely.
Right now, I'm treating it more as just a working budget and a profit and loss sheet, so I can see roughly where we are, but as far as I'm concerned, if you guys want to vote on the budget as it is right now, or make suggestions to modify the budget, then we can talk about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it looks good to me. If you guys are happy with that, I'd be fine voting for that as the initial El Paso budget when we get to the motion section. I have no problem with that. Feedback from other board members?
Bob agrees. All right. Yeah, I'm loading it up. I just took a moment to load it up, find it, and then, but I assume that's close. If we're in the black a little bit and things are clicking along, there's no reason not to keep moving forward with it all.
Yeah.
This isn't linked from the agenda, is it?
And it's not. There's a link.
Inside the report, yeah.
Yeah, there's a URL in the report.
In what report?
The IJ Festival 2016 report.
If you roll down to the bottom, there's a Google Doc link to it at the bottom of that report.
Okay.
Yes, and it's currently stored in the IJA, the 2016 mm-hmm. Festival Budget folder on our Google Docs.
2016 draft budget -2XISX.
Exactly.
Did somebody copy the URL into the report, into the agenda?
Yeah,
sure.
It's not readily copyable from.
No, it is, and I had to download it and then make it pass over. I'll put that in.
Yeah.
Email.
I did that once on another machine.
I have to add that as a link.
Nice. Good job, Louie.
Yeah, does that do it for anybody?
Yeah, really nice, Louie. Now I know I never take notes. I don't know how to do any of this.
I did. I pasted the URL in there, and then up top there's a little link button, insert link, and that magically did it for me. I may have had to mess around a little more if that didn't do it right off the bat.
For sure.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah, magic to me.
Go ahead.
One comment. I looked through all your numbers, and mostly they look good, but I think adult packages is probably a little high. You're expected for 2016. El Paso is not near anywhere, as we all know. And I also think that the on-site reg adult packages is probably high because I don't think anybody's going to walk in from El Paso. I mean, you know, one or two people might. And a few people will drive in and register on site. But as you see, we got 13 on-site package registrations last year. That was in Quebec, which, again, was sort of a long ways from most places, although at least Quebec City had some jugglers there. So I'm guessing that number of 20 is a little high, and I think the 180 is a little high. But, you know, we could debate forever over those. It's just a number. The thing is, I don't think there are going to be a lot of people walking in. They will have pre-registered if they're going to drive 10 hours, in all likelihood.
Jim, did you want to talk about our ideas on qualifying people for the brunch?
Yeah, at this point, we're just planning on everybody who either has a festival wristband for the week, or if they have even a day wristband, then those are the people that will get admitted for the brunch.
Sounds good. Presumably, you're talking about they'll get the brunch on the day that they have a gym pass for.
Right, exactly. So so it seems like we're going to have to have an extra volunteer at the door of the brunch, regardless of where it is, just like we do for the gym.
Yeah. Well, let's think through that. If I show up on Tuesday and get there at 1 in the afternoon and buy a gym pass, brunch is already over. Do I get brunch Wednesday?
No. Not unless you have a Wednesday gym pass.
You're probably coming back on Wednesday, and you'll buy the Wednesday gym pass in time.
How can I get brunch at 11 in the morning if the IJA table opens at 9? I mean, it's going to be a crush for some people to do that.
Well, it's not going to be any more of a crush than you normally have for registration at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly.
You'll register those people if they come, and then they'll be able to get brunch.
Okay.
If they register at 11, they can still get brunch.
Yeah.
If they're later than that, to them. I mean,
with it. I just want to make sure we've thought through it.
Yeah. No, that's a good idea to think about that, because maybe people think that's like, well, I paid for brunch, so I want it tomorrow. If I didn't make it today, maybe somewhere in the advertising or the some of the ideas we have about it online, we can take that specifically. If you miss the time, you miss it.
We can also.
Yeah, nobody's paying for brunch. The IWI is paying for brunch, so
exactly,
nobody can pull that card.
Great, wonderful, good. Again, just to think about it. Thank you.
And we can also punch their wristband once they come to the brunch if it's a day gym pass, so that they don't try and double dip.
Great.
Yeah, I don't think that's terribly risky. I mean, they would have to eat it themselves because the wristbands are attached to them. They would have to eat too much, and then it's probably.
Coming back the next day, Martin. But
that's a different day pass.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly. So my thinking is that whoever we get to man the door, they will have the same set of instructions for checking wristbands as the person at the gym.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And we just need to publish, you know, the exact rules of how you can get brunch. You know, you show up by sometime, get your gym pass or your weekly pass, and then go to brunch.
Yeah.
And if it turns out that we've actually bought more brunches than suddenly we're going to have, you know, we could be a little more generous. But for now, I think this is good.
Yeah, it's kind of new territory for us. We've never done anything like this. But this seems like the most straightforward way to roll it out. And I seriously hope that that Iwi will discover that this is not the most efficient use of his or her $25,000, and that he or she will continue to fund the championships rather than buying brunch. That's just my.
Well, we'll see if funding the championships is an efficient use of the money. We don't know that either.
Absolutely, and Martin, that's actually why I sort of inched up ever so slightly with the numbers, is because I really do believe that there are going to be a lot of people coming to this festival that otherwise would not come because of the championships. Anecdotally, I know that to be the case with about 5 or 6 jugglers that I know who told me in Quebec at the beginning of the week that they were not planning to come to El Paso, and then after we made the announcement said, well, I'm rethinking El Paso.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. I hope they decide to come.
Yeah, me
also
too.
With the difficulty of getting registering funds by mail, or we were experiencing from people south of the border, they may choose to just take a simpler route and say, it is just easier for me to register on site than to try to go to Western Union or something like that.
So that's probably true for people coming from Mexico or from
right.
the south.
Yeah.
Does anybody see any problems with the prices that I have set for the different categories? Like I said, early bird stays the same. Everything else got bumped up by about $5 or $10.
Was early bird actually $199 for adults last year?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Now that seems in the zone. Like you said, it was only $10 on those other two, the free reg and the on-site.
That's right.
Yeah, that seems right in the zone then. I'm hoping also that because it's back in the United States, we're going to get more people showing up who didn't have passports and stuff. So I'm hoping those numbers are bumped up by that a little bit, possibly. Or didn't want to pay for that whole process.
Yeah. For that, you would want to compare, with 2013. But 2013 was where? Was
Indiana.
Bowling Green.
Indiana, right.
Indiana,
yeah. Of course, it's in a central U.S.
2013 was Ohio.
Ohio, and then before that was the Bowling Green.
I'm sorry.
2013 was Bowling Green.
Bowling Green was 13. I'm sorry, 14. 2014 is the U.S., and that was in Indiana, and that was very low.
Mm.
I'm looking at this spreadsheet here.
Yeah, I just haven't told her to hold up. You can find that.
So El Paso is just a lot further away from the mass population centers in the U.S., and, unless hopefully the big championships money will bring in some championships competitors. One of the issues is that those competitors are going to submit their videos by April 1st, and then we'll know who's going to be qualified for the finals by May 1st. So May 1st is fairly late for people to be deciding whether or not they're going to go to the festival in El Paso. So, but maybe that'll get people to buy their airplane tickets and then decide to come anyway, even if we don't have as good a competitors as they hoped or something.
Yeah, I also wonder what sort of outreach we could possibly do with like Tucson and Austin and Dallas, some of those areas that are like a day drive or a day and a half drive, to promote it there heavily in a way.
We're definitely doing outreach in Texas.
Yeah.
Tucson's a good idea. They're closed. Colorado.
They have a nice juggling convention they do every year that's pretty solid, yeah.
I'm also going to be in Boston in March.
What was that?
I'm going to be in Tucson in March.
Great. So I'll be nearby.
Yeah, I can help. promote.
So you're going to mention the festival then when you're there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we should have some, we're going to print some new stickers and some new flyers with our new graphics. And so I hope to have those ready to start sending to festivals. The next festival coming up that I'm aware of is MadFest in late January.
And those are going to be without El Paso Up, right?
Yes.
Or whatever that phrase is.
Yes, it will be without that that slogan.
Great stuff. Do you have an ETA on getting any special guests booked, Jim?
We are working on that right now. I'm hoping that Aaron will be available for a follow-up call after this or tomorrow night.
Cool. Sounds good, guys. Any more discussion about the IJ 2016 festival? Ooh, I think Aaron left right as we got to the marketing side of things. Are you still here, Aaron?
She'll probably be back.
I think, yeah. I just sent her a message because her volume was so low, so I'm thinking she's going to call right back in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was kind of hard to hear. Well, anyway, she did attach a marketing report. Is that you, Aaron?
Yeah, hi. Sorry.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Hey, Aaron, give your name when you come in. Aaron,
okay.
Give your name when you come in, just so we know it's not no names again.
I just didn't want to notice the call. Savella had told me through Facebook that my volume was really low, so I switched back to Skype. So it's better now.
Yes, so we're at the marketing side of things, if you want to kind of give us an update there, Aaron. Thanks for the report. And yeah, so open discussion on.
Cool. So yeah, you can see the designs that we've had made. We worked with Gabo at Art Circus again in Mexico to get the imagery made for the main design for the Christmas Theme Festival. And then I have a set of designer I've been working with to get the actual design made. And we have sticker formats, and we have Instagram and website and Facebook ad and Facebook cover image sizes all designed. So that's exciting. We're waiting on imagery for the championship and the prize money announcements and stuff, which Zen, who's our graphic designer, said he would have to me by tomorrow morning to review. So once we have those, I'm sending them to Mike and Jim to get on the website, as well as the website designs that I've presented in this report. And then and Mike, too, has been working on the championship pages all up on the website, I know. And so then once all those are kind of in and plugged in, we're going to launch a big Facebook campaign event to get going and really start heavy promotion for the festival, as well as getting stickers published and stuff. Do people like the image?
Yeah, yeah.
I love the image.
Work is wonderful.
Excellent. Cool. Yeah,
what
I think
image?
It looks great. It's on the report that I submitted. If you can look at that. Cool. Yeah, I've kind of just shown it to a few different people from different demographics, and everyone has just been like, wow, that's incredible. That's so exciting. So hopefully it'll be well received. And we built out a little $5,000 marketing budget. That's from Iwi as well, who gave $5,000 towards marketing. So Jim and I are working with on that to do promotion. We're going to be doing all the championship images that are coming in. He's doing those in four different sizes as well for a Facebook ad, Instagram, general Facebook post, and the website. So we can really launch into promotion specifically. I've also been in put in touch with the main marketer of the El Paso area, thanks to Jim, who he met first while he was there, and he's talking about all the different ways we can promote the festival to the public in El Paso, through newspapers, radio, talk shows, news channels, and such. So I'll be in touch with her coming months to discuss that plan of action. Kind of festival promotion. And then if you look at the general IJ marketing, in general, things are doing great. Facebook and Instagram are going up every month really dramatically right now. The Instagram account, for anyone who's not on Instagram and not following that, it's kind of exploding. It's really taken off. I started it right before the IJ festival, and it's now up to 2,804 followers. And every post is getting anywhere from 170 to 100. Some getting 300. So that's exciting.
Sorry, can I interrupt for a second?
Hmm?
Aaron, are you on Skype?
Yeah. Am I echoing?
Well, there's some background noise that comes in, and apparently it is you because it went away as soon as you stopped talking. Your voice is clear, but there's this background stuff that's.
I hear.
I don't know if it's an echo, but. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry, there's probably nothing we
can
do.
I tried to
hear
it on my phone, and they told me I was really quiet, so I switched to this.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. But can you still understand what I'm saying? No, it doesn't mean.
Sort of distracting.
You know, what I think it is I think somebody might, actually, it might.
Hello?
I think he's suggesting that it might be somebody else's phone echoing back the sound. So if everybody could put their phone on mute, that might help. Everybody put it on mute unless you're talking.
Okay.
See, I just heard it there, too.
Hello, hello? Ooh, I think that's better. At least it is for me.
Yeah.
Yes, better. Good.
Okay, good. So I'll keep talking. Cool. So, yeah, things are really exploding in the – well, and they've been doing really well in the Facebook world, but Instagram is just taking off a lot. The YouTube subscribers are also going up. Twitter needs some help, but I just don't have time to address it right now, so I'm focusing on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube in general. The IRC promotion went really well. IRC South America, I don't think we've actually had a board meeting since – that ended, and that was a huge success, and I'll be talking about that more in the IRC report, but also I did something different this time where I recorded all the acts as they were happening on my cell phone. Since I'm not a judge, I'm just a scorekeeper, so I had time to record all the acts, and then I made a promotional video kind of highlighting the acts that performed, and I released that within, I think, 3 days of the competition, and that got a ton of response and lots of interaction. So people are really excited about the IRCs right now, and the marketing piece is going really well and quite effective. So continuing with that idea for Israel and the upcoming 2016 festivals, how we get more professional videos and photos immediately after the competition while the energy's high and while everyone's talking about it and thinking about it. Because often in the past, IRCs have taken a few months to get any videos created or whatever. So immediate marketing, I think, is going to be key for those. And then if you also look, I put in a screenshot of our Facebook demographics just because I've never done that, and I think it's just interesting for the board to see where all of our Facebook interaction is coming from within the world. And this is something I've paid a lot of attention to over the last 5 years since I started working with the IJ Facebook page. And it's in the last couple of years, it's been a dramatic increase in Spanish interaction with Spanish speakers. And you can see the number one language of our fans is now 4,000 almost ahead of our English fans and followers for Facebook, which is just fascinating. Mexico is number one in all categories. Colombia is up and coming, which is great because I went to Colombia and I did a lot of promotion for the IJA while I was there. I was in an interview that talked about the IJA and our programs. And everyone just would come up to me and be like, oh, you're an IJA representative. Can I have your photo? Can I get your autographs? And they just love the IJA in Colombia and in all of Latin America right now. So I think that's just a market that we really need to be paying attention to. And I know Bob had written us trying to figure out ways that we can make it possible for people to pay for memberships, because since that time, too, I've gotten a lot of people interested in becoming members that don't have PayPal, and so just figuring out what our strategy is for getting people to be able to register as members who don't have PayPal is going to be key for tapping into that market as far as memberships go. But overall, excitement and passion for the IJA and IJA programming is super high in Latin America right now, and it's very obvious in our demographics. And I think the IRCs and World Juggling Day and the Tricks of the Month videos have been a large part of why that is the case. Yeah. Hello? Any discussion?
Hello. Any discussion? Thoughts, comments, questions?
I have one last question on that.
On the promo art, what is this other logo for Gabo Arts Circus? What is that?
It's the artist who made the graphic. And that was just kind of part of the agreement. He was on all of the promotion last year. He did the artwork for them as well for the Quebec Festival. It doesn't have to be there.
Well, if it doesn't have to be, I think we should remove it. It's confusing and doesn't really add anything, and it kind of confuses the branding message.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
We paid for it, so
that's
essentially
a little black thing.
We don't need
it
there.
If we paid for it, then we own it. So I would say get the logo off of there.
Okay. The only thing it does do is everyone in Mexico, for example, who's our target market, everyone knows who Gablo Art Circus is. But and so that would make them be like, oh wow, it's Gablo Art Circus. That's cool. But also, it's a very much the image itself is very obviously Gablo Art Circus for anyone who knows his artwork. So
where is this banner we're talking about?
What's that?
Where is this banner that we were talking about?
It's on the. If you're looking at the agenda, I attached a report. Okay, yeah, and you can click on that and see.
Yeah, click on marketing, and a little dialogue should pop up with the link in it.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron, did you say this is the same person who did the logo last year?
Yeah,
this year in Quebec?
And he's done World Juggling Day the last couple of years as well.
Yeah, these drawings are always incredible.
They're hugely popular and very, I personally love them. And they're
very modern, very fun. And this person definitely has tapped into that market down there and who they are and who these people are, the jugglers who are interested in the IJA. So I think it's a great connection to have.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're very pretty. My one complaint about them is that IJA is pretty small. Both in Quebec
the
and
logo
on this one.
Itself, right?
The letters IJA do not stand. What do you see? You see festival, and that's fine, I guess. But it doesn't say IJA. Clearly, the picture shows juggling. But I was unhappy with that this year in Quebec as well. The size of the IJA. It was almost invisible.
Okay.
This one maybe stands out a little better because of the color contrast.
It's orange.
But,
and maybe if
you
make the logo, it's the only logo on there, and make that a little larger too, that will help. Because
that would certainly help. That's really small.
The logo is really small. Yeah.
Now, if Gabo did their logo a little bit differently, would that settle better into the thing? Into the piece?
He does have a different logo, but I agree that it's not necessarily. I mean, we paid for it. His main request was that we keep his signature on there, which is there. It's small, but it's
there. Yeah, signatures. I see the signature on there, and I think that's absolutely necessary. But I think
signatures under the two people back to back.
Yeah. And that's all that Gabo Art Circus did was that image. And then this other graphic designer is the one who's done the full image, that taking the artwork and putting it in with the words and with the background and everything.
Yeah, and that's talented, right?
Two different designers we've been working with.
Okay, I'm confused. Who put the words with the letters IJA?
That's Ven. And I did send him last year's image as an example, and so that's probably where he did that.
Yeah,
there's so many different
weeks
here. It's just the actual words.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, all right,
guys. Sorry to interrupt. I'm going to have to cut this off in about 2 minutes,
okay.
So get your final
comment
here. we can.
Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah, so just to wrap up the last section, just to kind of put this out there, one thing that came up while I was in Colombia, it's also come up while I was in Costa Rica, is I've been approached by people who have asked, it's possible for me to be an IJ representative for my country, for Colombia or for Costa Rica. And I started exploring what this could look like under, with having a team under me as the marketing director. Mute your phone, sorry, there's background noise. Of having the, sorry, my page just redirected, but having the representative team of the different people, because we have IJ representatives who are in Canada or Europe that have never been super active and never had an exact role outlined of what they're responsible for. So I've got a Skype meeting planned with four different people, somebody from Mexico, Colombia, Peru, and Costa Rica, to explore what this could look like of them being kind of representatives under me as a marketing team, and them helping me with promotion of IJ events like World Juggling Day or the IJ Regional Competitions or Tricks of the Month or Ladies Malabaristas, and them helping recruit people to participate in these different events or helping organize the different events like for World Juggling Day and things like that, and kind of being my report, the people that come back to me and report what's happening in these countries, also promotion of the festival and things like that. So it's an exciting potential program, and I just wanted to let the board know that that's something I'm kind of moving towards and see what you guys think.
This is Jim for Louis. You typed Puerto Rico, but I think it was Costa Rica.
Costa Rica.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on that last topic, right quick?
I think it's great. It was bomb. I think it's great.
Cool.
Great.
I like having representatives out there.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And this is a great team.
Definitely. Cool. Moving on to YJA report, Ellen Winters. Ellen did touch base with me. She just stopped in and said, there's nothing really new to report, but she wishes everybody happy holidays. So that's kind of where we are with YJA. Moving on to eJugger report. Scott submitted this. You'll notice that per your and my recommendation, he has also included the monthly payouts in there specifically, as he will continue to do going forward for our review. So. Any discussion on the eJuggle report?
This is Lily. I know we did that vote about increasing the budget, and we didn't approve that. And he's definitely mentioned that a couple times now in the last email in this situation. And I know we had also possibly put on the table at that point, if something comes up and he's like, hey, we can get this video for this much money, we can review it then. So I would like to ask him to possibly submit that in a way as a proposal. Like, hey, we can get this video for this much money. We can kind of compare it to what his budget is. And if it seems like a good deal, we can make that happen for him. I don't know what to do, because I don't want to just randomly increase the budget for no real reason, as we discussed in the past.
Interesting. So you're kind of proposing, like, giving him the option to do, like, a proposal for per project increases? Is that what you're saying?
Possibly. I thought we had discussed that just slightly in the past when we were discussing the whole thing. If he wants to make a motion for that or present something to us, we can have a look at it. Because if there is content that we can get for a good price, that's good for us. But like I believe it was possibly Bob said, we shouldn't just be supplemental income for a bunch of jugglers that we kind of know.
I like the idea of... Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, this is Bob. I think we did agree with that, and I think Louis understands correctly that if he does come up with great content, let's say, Joe Blow comes in and says, very well-known juggler, and says, hey, I'm willing to do this, but it's going to cost you, and it's extra, it throws his budget off, that he should come back to us and ask and say, hey, do you want this content that's offered? To a certain degree, I think that's what he did in his his email, said that, he's missing some of these, and is it worth it? And I didn't see anything, where anybody thought, yeah, we should increase it. But I think that's what we left open, then we should encourage him to do that, and we just take it. I mean, he's probably not going to like it because we're kind of editing his magazine to a certain degree, but, I mean, you know, we're also got the purse strings. But, I mean, that was my understanding that he should come back if he's got some great deal.
Yeah, I agree. And he needs to know that he can request money from the board for a specific video, that he wants the IJ to have, whether it's, you know, $750 or $1,000 or whatever it is. The board has the purse strings, as you say, and big expenses of that order should be approved by the board.
Yeah, at that point, we just have to kind of compare to what he was asked. It's our due diligence to keep on track of how much that costs us compared to a monthly increase costs us. It may be even to exactly what he wanted in the end, but at least it's a process where we have a little bit of control of that situation, even though I'm perfectly comfortable with him being an editor. I don't want to censor him in any way, really.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea, guys. I'll reach out to him. Remind him of that. So just that he's aware that he has that option to come to us with specific proposals. So I will inform him of that.
Great.
Any more discussion?
Just to let you guys know too, I talked to him about the budget for videos for the IRCs, and we agreed of lowering it from 250 per IRC video to 100, so that saves 150 per IRC, which is great as
well.
Excellent.
Cool. Anything else, guys? Moving right along to membership. The spreadsheet is attached there, as always. Any discussion?
I would like to get that increasing. Like, it seems like the last few years it's been almost about 100 people a year we've been losing generally, so I would love to see that going the other way somehow. And I wonder if this market of South America can help us do that. Not, it's a budget thing a little bit, but mainly just like, how do we get people more engaged in this whole thing? What do we offer? What do we do to get those numbers up? What do they need from us that we're not giving them? How do we reach out and find that from them?
Mm-hmm. And I think one thing that I've thought of is that we've just never done, because of my job now is being a social media manager, so I'm working with Facebook a lot, is doing like a ad, which you can put money towards a Facebook ad that promotes IJ membership specifically, and whether it be a video like Kyle Johnson did one year highlighting what the membership benefits are, or a photo being like, join the IJA with a cool juggling photo and outlining kind of, you know, you give to this program and this program and this program. But basically these ads are doing wonders, at least with my clients I'm working with in the social media realm, to bring people to the websites and actually just spread the news, and you can target who you want to target, like certain countries or certain interest groups and things like that. So that's one thing I was thinking would be cool to try for 2016, is an ad specifically on IJ membership.
Great. Even reach out to our members and ask them for testimonials or things like that, that we can kind of cut into that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has a phone that can record a small video at this point.
Bob, I just have one question while I've got Aaron on the here. But we're still running into that same problem about them. How do they send in their dues, right?
Right, totally. And I saw the email happening. Sorry, I've been slammed with other IJA work this week and haven't responded. But I know what I did see is Mike presented that credit card can work through the Square. And I think that's great news for me because we've never been able to use direct credit cards before. And a lot of people in Latin America have good accredited credit cards or visas or whatever.
They do.
So that's an option.
Okay.
Not everyone. I've met several people who don't have credit cards.
Right, because I talked to people from Citibank and American Express, and they both said, you know, it is just near impossible just because of a lot of reasons that have nothing to do with just money transfers. It's, you know, drug laundering, money laundering, and everything else. That the easiest way is Western Union, but Western Union is not available everywhere. But if they have Visa or MasterCard, yeah, then that should not be a problem.
Right.
The new website makes credit cards.
Right,
the new
just
website
they
does.
Have Visa or MasterCard, though. But I mean, that's...
Oh, just straight through. Okay.
My understanding is sometimes they don't. That's a problem down there.
That's true, too. And I think it's just going to depend on the person and the location. Because I know some people have become members, and there's been no problem. So I don't know if there's certain banks that accept PayPal, if there's certain banks that accept Visa or whatever. But exploring it more is definitely important if we want that region to expand.
And just FYI, we have not been accepting PayPal since April 1st when we went to the new website because PayPal wasn't set up on it. But it is now set up. I finished that this last week, and so we can now accept payments by PayPal.
And we've only gotten two.
Cool.
We've already gotten two. Great.
Cool, good stuff.
The sort
guys.
Of interesting thing is that we got very few complaints about not being able to accept PayPal because we did accept credit cards.
Right, and it doesn't matter.
I don't know, we've gotten more than one or two.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, credit cards are the easiest way to go, Visa, MasterCard particularly. But like I say, in some third world countries, they just do not have the ability to do that. And, Visa, MasterCard has not made inroads even into their own banking systems because they have to pay both Visa International, MasterCard International a fee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll just throw it out. I know we have to move on. Nathan. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, it's a whole process. Like from the cash system to the credit system, it's something we quite haven't encountered, but hopefully we can figure it out because we are the International Jugglers Association. There has to be something south of North America that is the payment processing system, or possibly clubs can collect dues and then pay in one lump sum for the club and for X members of a club. We might have to change how we accept some memberships to accommodate their situation.
Definitely, and I definitely encourage if you guys have any ideas to continue discussion either on the forums or by email exchanges. I know you guys have some stuff going, and you know there's definitely a lot of ways we're looking at that. So, but I'd like to move on in the name of time to the IRCs. Erin does have reports there, and I'm sure she has a few things to say.
I'll try to be quick. I was writing it at 2 in the morning and got a little excessive, so my apologies on the lengthy report. Basically IRC Israel is approved. I have two proposals down below in the motions department for Mexico and Central America, which will be hosted by the same, venues as the last couple of years, or the last year, I guess. And, Mexico, it's fifth year, which is kind of a cool momentous occasion of having the fifth event there. One thing I talked about a lot in the report is the concept of IJ representatives. This is something that Tom Wall and I have been discussing this past year. Tom was the first IRC representative, aside from myself, to go to Mexico this past year and fill that role of organizing the event and also being a kind of draw for the festival, being a big name that's going to draw people and also a performer who can add a lot to the festival and a workshop instructor, and that's kind of one of my goals in expanding the IJ representatives pod or like pool of people that we can draw from is people that will also add a lot to the festival. It's another way to render assistance to fellow jugglers because then more people are coming to their event, it's more successful, etc. So currently looking at Jorge Viltis coming into the fold in 2016. Anyone who doesn't know who that is, he's been our Tricks of the Month organizer for the past 2 years. He's competed in the IRCs 3 times. He's from Mexico. He also came with me to Costa Rica and helped me organize the Central American IRC in 2016. And he speaks great Spanish, so he would be a great representative for South America or somewhere like that. And he's a big name. Lots of people talk about him everywhere I go. Kind of defining the process for that with Tom and getting his feedback as to how that flow went with him this past year. And then the last thing I want to just address is just kind of a long-term vision, and I've outlined it all there. I know if you haven't read it yet, please take some time to just kind of read kind of what the big vision is. I think that's an important thing for the board to start discussing because of how fast this program's growing. And I want the board to just kind of be aware of what mine and Tom's original vision was with this program and where it has the potential to grow to, where it actually becomes a world championship type model, where the winners of each regional competition are flown in to compete in the official IJ World Championships each year, and what would be involved with making that possible. So, that's it.
Erin, I think you're really right on track with the IRCs. I like the idea about the representatives who offer something for the IRCs, you know, a little bit more workshops, you know, shows and stuff. I think it's really great.
Cool. Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, this is Louis. I agree with that. Like, we've been very North American-based for years and don't know what reason's kind of been stuck like that, but this is a great push into making this a really international situation. And there's definitely going to be some growing pains, but it's exciting to see where it's going. And the idea of competing around the world and coming together for the big event is, like, makes it, it's titanic. It's epic at that point. I love it.
Right? I know.
Yeah.
Thinking about it.
It's a fun thing to work towards. It's great.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like I wrote out, like, this is big picture vision, and it's going to take a lot of work to get there, and it's going to take a lot of funding to get there. But if we can actually make that happen, like, everyone's been talking about a juggling Olympics or a juggling world championship as long as I've been a juggler. And to actually make that happen, like, where it's a real world championship, would just be a dream come true for many people.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Oh. Wonderful. Exactly.
Cool.
Great stuff, guys. Great work, Erin. Now we move on to future festival planning with Mike Sullivan.
Pretty quiet on the future festival just right now, waiting for April, when we'll be going to another reverse trade show to start working on 2019. So if anybody has any ideas on changes they'd like to make to what we ask for festivals between now and April, please let me know. Other than that, everything's cool.
Sounds good, Mike. Any discussion, guys?
No, hopefully we're going to vote and pass the admission to the sports commission at this point, but I think that's a great situation if that whole sports commission.
All right, guys. That being the case, moving on to motions for consideration. The first one is, well, I think Erin might have just gotten left again, but the first one is the motion to approve the signing of the Get Smart Group contract. Would somebody like to make this motion?
Bob will.
Thank you, Bob. Would someone like to second this motion?
This is Louis, I'll second.
Thank you, Louis. Moving on to just in time, Erin Stevens. We're talking about the Get Smart Group contract.
Oh, good.
Cool. You know, just the one thing I would like to mention, I don't know if this is constitute a full revision or what, but our name is misspelled on there. There is, the word association is not spelled correctly, and it's missing an apostrophe after the F.
Yes, I can have that corrected immediately before we sign it.
Okay. Beyond that, I mean, we've talked about a lot of these terms, and Erin did set out the addendum. Any discussion, guys? Moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose the signing of the Get Smart Group contract? Would anyone like to abstain? Motion passes.
Wow.
Woo! Thanks, guys.
All that discussion for all these months, and that's all it took? Wow! Look at that.
All that months and all that refinement that needed to happen. All
right. Well, great work, guys, and I appreciate all the input we had over this for the past few months, all the revisions, all the time everyone put in. That's excellent work. So, yeah, good stuff.
Me as well. Thank you. The process, and there's some butting heads, but I appreciate all the input from everyone.
Great. Yeah, I'm really excited about moving all that stuff forward. I know it's going to be work. I know it's a little, it's almost that fear thing of the situation and getting involved too crazy with something like this. But I think it's going to really help push us forward and give us pushing forward and connecting the whole world with the IJA. That's great.
All right, guys. Moving right along to Motion B, the motion to approve paying annual dues of $100 for membership to the National Association of Sports Commissions. Someone like to make this motion?
Ms. Shavela, I will.
Thanks, Shavela. Do we have a second?
Louie.
Thank you, Louie. I'm sure Mike can talk about this in more detail than I can if you guys have any questions. So basically, this is just the that allows us to attend the reverse trade show that Mike gets a lot of his leads for the future festival sites for the IJA. Now, Mike has been kind enough to purchased a membership out of his own pocket for the last 2 years, and then now, and I'm assuming going forward, he's requesting that the IJA reimburse or pay this amount. So that's kind of where this stands. Do you want to add anything to that, Mike?
Well, we get what you mentioned, Nathan. We also get to tap into a lot of best practices for groups like ours. Our group in the world of sports commissions, we are called a National Governing Body, an NGB. In other words, we hold the title rights to claim a international championship, and lots of other groups like ours are in the same category. And by being part of the NASC, we get to learn from a lot of other groups much, much larger than ours and much smaller than ours, find out what works for them. The symposium that I'll be going to in April is all expenses paid by the NASC sponsors. So we get a lot of benefit from it. That's how we found Springfield, Massachusetts, and a lot of other good leads. So I think it's well worth $100. It gives us a lot of prestige, a lot of visibility, and it lets us, you know, do things on a bigger scale than we could without such a network.
Excellent. Thanks, Mike. Any more discussion, guys? Moving to a vote, does anybody oppose the motion to approve paying annual dues of $100 for membership to the National Association of Sports Commissions? Would anyone like to abstain? Motion passes. Thank you again, Mike.
Great, thank you.
Moving on to Motion C. I'm not going to read all of this, but it is very clearly outlined there for you all to read. This has to do with redirecting traffic on our URL. Would someone like to make this motion?
This is Louie. I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Louie. Do we have a second?
Bob will.
Thank you, Bob. Now for discussion, before we go into this, I think the two people most involved and opinionated on this are going to be Mike and Martin, so I would actually like to turn the floor over to them first to kind of give us their perspectives on this. I'd like to start with Mike and then go to Martin if you guys are in agreement. So, Mike, please take it away.
Okay, well,
can I just interrupt for a second? Sure. How many board members have not read the Mike's post on the Board Plus today about this very issue? Has anybody not read that?
I may not have. Let me just see.
It's fairly long, so you would know.
No, I did not then today. Not today.
Okay, who's that?
Mrs. Louie. I'm sorry, Louie.
Louie, okay. All right. So you might want to glance through it while...
Yep, I'm right there now.
This is Shavela, just making sure I read the same thing. This is about moving the pages over and back, right?
No, it's about repointing our main domain to point to the Your Membership platform as a default.
Okay, I saw that one. Got it.
Well, we're finishing up our first 9 months on the OAR membership platform. We're soon going to be starting registrations for the second festival on the platform. Basically, all of the day-to-day functions, administration, and all the new information for the festival is being posted only to the OAR membership platform. All of our finances are there. Our membership operation is there. All the festival operations are there. And I think it just makes sense, you know, we should do it as soon as we can, but it certainly makes sense to do it before we light up registrations for next year's fest, that we make it easy for people to find our new site. And the easiest way to do that, I think, is to make the OAR membership site responsive when you type in juggle.org or www.juggle.org. We can preserve everything that's at the existing site in an archive state, and, you know, link to pages that we think are important. Search engines can easily reveal information there that people might need. And then as Aaron's proposal has outlined, we will try to migrate pages that we need to run the association. But I think for all other purposes, it just makes sense to consolidate our web presence at the new system and make it easy for people to get to that page by default and automatically when they try and do business with the IJA. So that's what my proposal is about. Feel free. I know you have other ideas and there are questions about the technical efficacy of this.
Yeah, there are a number of details that remain to be worked out to make this work smoothly. But the first technical issue, or first non-technical issue, is that this will cost the IJA $250 plus $167, approximately. The $250 is to get a new SSL certificate to replace the one that we bought last year, because we would be moving the site basically from ym.juggle.org to www.juggle.org. And we would also be renewing the SSL certificate a third of a year early, so that's the other $167. So this would cost us $417 or thereabouts.
Can we not just have juggle.org point to ym.juggle.org?
No. Because what would happen then is that it all depends on how you do that. There's various ways of pointing it. If you redirect to it, then that's fine. But that would mean www.juggle.org would really still be handled by the old website, and it would just shove you off to ym.juggle.org, and then when you got there, you look in your browser, and it would say ym.juggle.org.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way to do it, and that would avoid the $417 payment.
Can we do that until our payment is up with the current situation and then transfer it over at the normal time so we get our full money's worth?
We could. And okay. I think Mike, you know, probably wants us to do that more cleanly now. It's also, so what would that affect? That would mean that if people, you know, yeah. Well, one of the issues is that would mean people would be going through the old website. So I'm sure, I'm not sure, but maybe you all remember that the old website tends to be a little slow at times, except maybe in the middle of the night. And so when it's slow, you would type juggle.org, and it would be slowly figuring out, oh, I got to redirect to the ym.juggle.org site, which might be a little faster, although lately I've noticed ym being fairly slow itself.
A little bit, yeah.
I see you've noticed that as well. So
yes, a little.
I don't know how much that slowdown would be if you had to go first to juggle.org and then to ym.juggle.org with that redirect from the old site. Maybe the redirect would be fast enough. It would be much faster than other pages loading on the old site. We could actually do a little test of that to see what happens by creating some new temporary domain like test.juggle.org and have it redirect. See what takes. There are some details about how to get to the old site, how to get to the things that are on the old site that you've bookmarked on the old site. The main thing is I want to make sure that everything on the old site is that people are used to finding, they can still find without too much trouble. I might suggest that everybody uses Google to do that. I don't, because I know, you know, there are links on the old site that get me there. But, you know, maybe there are not many people looking at the old championship listings or whatever on the old site. But one of our things that we do as the IJA is to retain the history of juggling, and the history of the IJA is part of that. And so I don't want to lose that stuff. Mm-hmm. At least the actual, you know, I'm less concerned about losing the discussion forums that are on there, but even that has some historical, you know, significance. Now.
And just to be clear, I want to make sure that we preserve everything that exists at the old site just like Martin does. And I think there's a rather straightforward technical way to do that. For example, a lot of the old historical data now lives at dev.juggle.org. And so if it was possible to move it there then, I think we could easily move all the rest of it to, you know, archive.juggle.org. And I agree with Martin, we do have a responsibility to preserve all that, and I think we should. And I think it can be done while still achieving the aims of making your membership platform our front door to our web presence for all other functions.
Yeah, the dev.juggle.org is sort of a red herring. You know, we can put it wherever, you know, we need if we're using the old website. Dev is actually on a different server, I believe, a different hosting platform, different company than www.juggle.org, and that's why it's on, because David was able to find this, I think it's free, this other hosting site, and it's much faster than our main site. So it hasn't moved everything over because there's databases and whatnot that need to be referenced, but the stuff that's constant text is much faster referenced on dev.juggle.org. It's just an arbitrary name. You could call it archive or whatever. And yeah, so that's not particularly an issue that it's called dev, but that's just have to see where it is.
So with those systems right now, with the dev, our regular juggle.org and the YM, we have three different databases sitting around somewhere in a way.
Well, I wouldn't think of it that way. We basically think of it this way. We have juggle.org and we have ym.juggle.org. Those are the two sites. Dev is just basically a copy of some stuff from juggle.org.
Okay, Okay.
And it's not any different from that.
All right. But, yeah, I would like to somehow take our current web situation and archive it almost exactly how it is today with the links and the look and everything. And then when we... But that could be done over the next month or two as we transition with the Get Smart group as well. I mean, maybe there's some coincidence at some point in the future where it makes sense to pop over when they've gotten so much work done. We pop it over at that point. Maybe not tomorrow.
I'm not quite sure what you're saying.
Are you saying
to freeze the old site?
Can we freeze it somehow and almost lock it in time so it's like that's what people reference when they're like, I'm going to the archive version of the IJA. I can go back to there. And it almost feels and looks like it is.
First of all, the old site isn't frozen. It is the home of eJuggle, and that's being updated, you know, almost every day.
I see. Okay. The eJuggle lives there, too, with that one.
Yep. And
at some point, we're
going to
stop. At some point, we're going to stop paying them or something, or I don't know exactly what the situation is, honestly. Like, when we say we're transferring over, can't we just tell YM to be like, hey, do your thing where you switch it over? Is it only the SSL certificate that we're paying for? Is there a domain prices we're paying and stuff? Don't we already pay YM to host whatever we say they're hosting in a way?
Well, here's the thing. We can't move arbitrary pages into YM because they have to look... You know, and they have to fit into their template. And we don't have administrative editing capabilities on the YM back end. We only have, you know, the capability to put stuff, text, into template pages that we create under the existing sort of template there. So we have arbitrary stuff on the old site. Now, one of the things that we can do, you talked about paying. Are you talking about paying the old hosting service, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Are we paying them some sort of money a month or a year?
we're paying them, I don't know what it is, $150 or $160 a year or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we could go on paying that forever. It's not a huge amount just to host those pages so we didn't have to deal with somehow reformatting them for the new site. Ideally, it would be nice to just get rid of that old site and have everything, you know, pretty under the new site, but there's so much stuff under the old site that that's not going to happen. We have, for instance, people have hundreds of photos on the old site in the various galleries. And, you know, you guys probably never look there. I would go look there every now and then. I'd need a picture for a festival flyer or something, and I'd look there. And so, you know, probably a few people do that, but there's a lot of stuff like that that's not commonly used. It could be moved under the YM site and what they call, they have a name for it, and basically it means putting stuff into web pages that are not in the actual template that we have there. It's just sort of arbitrary pages.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wouldn't look pretty, but it would be hosted there. It would probably not be quite as easy to maintain. And it also would probably be a lot of trouble to move that stuff because there's so many separate files, and I don't think we would have access to moving whole directories at a time like we might if we had back-end, you know, shell access. So I don't know what's going to happen to that old detailed stuff like the gallery and all the old discussion forums and what.
This is Jim, and I think all of that is definitely worth considering, but doesn't really pertain to the immediate proposal on the table.
Okay, very good. Because we're going to keep them both for X amount of time no matter what.
It's certainly not going to change in the next 6 months. We're not going to ditch the site.
Great. And as the Get Smart Group helps us develop the new site and work all of our content into there, we're going to be running both of these sites and transferring over information, and we can... But I think the sooner we get... Here's the only thing I think we just go over to the new one so we can switch over stuff as soon as possible. Like, it doesn't make sense, like you said in the post, to keep bouncing people to the new one every click they make anyway. Every time they click on something on our old site, they go to the new site, or 80% of the time anyway.
Yeah, the costs that Martin mentioned are real, but, you know, I mean, we can't put it off forever because there's going to be a $400 bill. This is the cost of progress, and it's going to be basically a one-time charge, and we'll have the renewal every year like we would for any certificate. So,
like normal,
I hope the cost is not a showstopper for anybody on this decision.
And I guess I will point out that we would have that cost, we would have at least $250 of that cost down the line whenever we wanted the YM site to be our main juggle.org site. We have to pay,
right.
We have to buy that. I mean, I guess we could save the $250 if we waited for two and a quarter more years. Because you pay that $250 every 3 years. So we could save it if we waited a long time. But if we wanted to do it a year from now, we'd still have to pay the $250.
Okay, well then, yeah, I'd say we just bite the bullet on this and start to go over. So YM is our backbone and juggle.org goes straight to there.
Okay, any more discussion?
Yeah, let's
go back.
So one question is how quickly we can do this. The motion calls for the effective January 1st or as soon as possible thereafter. As soon as possible thereafter is going to be determined by some amount of work by David, me, and Mike, I assume, and maybe somebody else. But that's only, 10 days from now. So it's not going to happen by January 1st, I think. First of all, I don't think we can get a SSL certificate by then. I think that took us several weeks before. I don't remember. So I think, you know, make it say as soon as possible or make it say January 31st or I don't know what, but I don't think it's going to happen by January 1st.
Yeah, I would read this as just, I agree with you, but if we read it as effective as in the proposal to make this happen is effective that day and as soon as possible thereafter kind of covers into that next month. But on the first, we can make those moves, contact the right people, start to push that over.
and hopefully by the end of the month it'll fall into place. But I'm probably changing it as well.
I would say then just take out January 1st. I mean, maybe some pieces of it can happen before that. You know, I don't know what David's schedule is. He's the person who will need to make some changes in the domain name system for juggle.org so that these things would go to the right place. so I don't know what his availability is at the moment or over the holidays, over the next 10 days or 2 weeks. But I'd say take out the January 1st and just say as soon
as feasible, as soon as...
Good word.
Feasible, does that work in there in a way?
Is that okay with you, Mike, to change this?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree, Martin.
And who made this motion? Louis. So, as long as it's okay with you, Louis.
Yeah, it is. Like, I wanted to, like, I understand exactly what you're saying. Where it's going to take a little bit of work to make it happen. We're going to have to talk with a couple of people, but as soon as feasible.
Would you like to treat this as a friendly amendment, or would you like to amend this with a second? What do you think?
Who are you asking?
Pretty much the board. Thoughts on anyone? Because they're changing the wording.
I know. Yeah. I want to make sure we follow the rules of order here.
I'm fine with a friendly amendment if everyone else is. If there's no objection.
Me too. Yep.
I'm fine with it as well.
All right, just take a note that there was a fresh amendment to remove the January 1st. And we're good. Cool. Any more discussion on this, guys? I'd like to wrap this up pretty soon. So any final thoughts, please get them out. Or forever hold your peace as we move to a vote.
Feasible has an I in it before the B.
Sorry, yeah. All right. Thank you.
That being the case, I think we're going to go right to vote. Does anybody oppose this motion? Would anyone like to abstain? Motion passes. Excellent work, guys. All right, moving on to Motion D. Motion to approve Robert Gooding as the 2015 Festival Video Editor with the terms outlined in the below contract. Now, before the motion is made, there was one modification to the contract. Did you have any further modifications you saw, Martin?
Well, I didn't have time to fully finish it. As I said in my email to you, the last part of the contract is a little rough.
I did reword that a little bit to the best of my ability. I was in a hurry, but I did reword that because I thought it was a little choppy.
I would like to see the last... First of all, let me ask you this question. At the end, there's a payment and schedule section followed by a big title that says Project Schedule Deadline Note. I don't know what that is. Is that a note to the payment and schedule section? Or is that a section of its own?
I read it as it is a payment and schedule note within the payment and schedule section, not its own section.
Okay. Back further up, under IJA responsibilities, it says, meet all deadlines as outlined in payment. I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. I'm looking for... Payment schedule,
maybe that's okay.
Project deadlines. So there's a reference earlier number 4 under editor responsibilities refers to meet all deadlines as outlined in project deadlines schedule. Project deadline schedule doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
There's project schedule deadline note. So it needs to be, that needs to be clarified. I would say that you should have a section here which was deadlines, just plain deadlines. And I would change this thing that says project schedule deadline note. I see you removed the thing that said begin date. So there should be there should be deadlines, either, you know, relative to the signing of the contract or explicit dates, probably relative to deadlines. But then this number 4 that says meet all deadlines would make sense. But it should say meet all deadlines as outlined in project deadlines. Remove the word schedule. Make project deadlines a section. And I'm sorry to have to waste more time here to do this, but it needs to be cleaned up.
Right.
So are you editing this, Nathan, on offline, as it were?
A little bit. Yeah, I don't know if you want me to do this whole thing now and upload it, or if we want to table this for a later time, or what would be ideal.
Well, what's your feeling about, is this person ready to go to work?
Yes.
If we wait another month, that's probably going to delay the whole thing a month. You could approve it, you know, subject to editing by, the board could approve it subject to cleaning up the edit by you and me, knowing that we're not going to change the price, and we're simply going to clarify the wording and the dates and all that stuff.
Yeah, the terms are going to change. It's just a matter of, like you said, kind of formatting this a little more logically.
And making it make sense, and legal sense, too. I mean, it's really not there now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to say. Because I read through this, and I was just lost. So I would suggest that the board approve the contract as outlined here, and that the new version will, after you and I can edit it, you know, within a day or two, send it to the board, and hopefully nobody would object. But I assume that I hope that we can get a approval here so we don't have to wait another month to get
Great.
It started.
Okay. Okay, so how does this sound for wording? Motion to approve Robert Gooding as the 2015 Festival Video Editor with the general terms outlined in the below contract pending wording revision by Nathan and Martin pending wording revision by Nathan and Martin.
Sounds good to me.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. Would someone like to make this motion?
Louie, I'll make it.
Thank you, Louie. Do we have a second?
Shavela.
If I heard stuff, I'm going to go with Shavela, though. Any discussion? All right. Moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose the approval of this motion? Would anyone like to abstain? Motion passes. I will get to work on that with Martin. And we have a
Great.
Video editor in place. Okay.
You gotten any feedback on the 2014 Duncan Pace action?
Oh, yeah. He's essentially finished with the proof, and he's going to be uploading those this week. So I will likely be sending out email soon for you guys for the video proof.
Awesome. Great. I know there was a delay. I'm glad it's back on track.
Yeah.
What about 2016?
I haven't approached anyone yet, but I have several editors in the pocket. I had a surprising number of people respond to the last newsletter article, so I figure after the new year, I'm going to dealers to get a contract in place before the festival.
Great. That's what we used to do.
Yeah.
Not after.
how we can do, like, even contact and video.
Totally breaking up. Aaron, is that you?
Pardon me.
I can't hear her.
No.
Hello?
No.
You're really breaking up, Aaron.
Not
that
bad. Never mind.
On your regular phone.
Never mind, I'll try again on my other phone.
We almost heard you there.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just going to move along. If there's no objections, we're just going to do motion E. And Erin can, when she rejoins, she can talk about this a little bit. But this is a motion to approve the IRC Mexico 2016 proposal from the Frilipo International Circus Convention, including the approval of a $400 budget from the IJA for prizes and publicity. Would someone like to make this motion?
Marvin, you'll make the motion.
Thank you, Marvin. We have a second.
Bob will.
Thank you, Bob. Moving to discussion. Echo.
Hello.
All right.
Yep.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
A little bit.
Yeah, so the proposal is attached. I guess any questions? The only question that really jumped out to me is the circuit convention is at $300, and the budget is asking for $400 from the IJA. Does that mean the $100 is just for the publicity?
The $100 is for medals and publicity. Mainly, that covers medals at this point. I reduced it from $500, as you saw in the budget. Well, as if you looked at the budget in my IRC proposal, I reduced everything to $400 from $500. So it would go towards the medals mainly, and publicity will come from UNAMED.
Okay, I'm just a little confused because in the proposal it says $300.
That's for the prize money specifically, but the $400 is for medals and other things that we're going to need. So that's the matching fund for the prize money for the IRC.
Okay, but it says $300 for the competition prize as well as medals. Or is that as a separate item?
Medals is on top of the $300 prize money.
Okay, gotcha.
Can you tell me what the total cost you're proposing is? I'm confused.
$400.
Of all expenses, $400 is the total of everything.
For the IJA.
Okay.
Any more discussion, guys? All right. Moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose the motion to approve the IRC Mexico 2016 motion? Would anyone like to abstain? Motion passes. Moving on to motion F, the motion to approve the IRC Central America 2016 proposal from the Malabarista Toco with the agreement of funding $400. With a funding of a $400 IJ budget. Would someone like to make this motion?
Bob will.
Thank you, Bob. Do we have a second?
Shavela will.
Thank you, Shavela. Moving on to discussion.
Where is this going to be?
This is in Costa Rica. It's at the same place that hosted it in 2015.
Can we add that to the motion, or at least in the discussion, record this so that if somebody reading this knows that it's in Costa Rica?
Sure. It's in the proposal.
Okay.
But that's a link. But yeah.
Yeah.
Costa Rica. In San Jose, Costa Rica specifically. The one thing I do want to add discussion-wise is I had a talk with... Can you guys all hear me? Because my phone is breaking up like crazy.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I had a discussion with the director of this time. And last time, UNAMED ended up sponsoring a large part of their event, including facility rental and stage rental, because they were unable to find sponsorships. And I told them that's not going to be available this year. And so they've already paid for the venue, and that's all taken care of. But the stage itself costs about $1,000 United States dollars to pay for, and they're probably not going to find the sponsorship to cover that. And so we talked about the alternatives, and it would include a kind of like black background or black backdrop and a sound system that they would be able to provide, but not necessarily a stage and lighting, which last year the lighting was really bad anyhow, and we ended up using the dim lighting. But just so everyone's aware, it wouldn't be quite as professional looking, but it was in a dim space anyhow. Last year it wasn't entirely professional, and it's what we've got for Central America right now. and hopefully that will just continue to improve in the future, but so everyone's aware.
Okay, any further discussion? Moving to a vote, is anybody opposed? The motion for the IRC Central America 2016. Would anyone like to abstain? Motion passes. Great work. And I think just as a formality, I would like to make a motion. I would like to make a motion to approve the initial operating budget of the 2016 IJA Festival as submitted by Jim Maxwell. And if you can, Louis, just put a link to the above spreadsheet in this motion. Cool. Would someone like to make this motion?
Bob will.
Thank you, Bob. Do we have a second?
Shavela.
Thank you, Shavela. Moving to discussion. We already went over this quite a bit, but is there anything further, guys? Moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose approving the operating budget? Would anyone like to abstain? Motion passes. Thank you again, Jim. Looks very good.
See that.
Moving on to Varia, just a few quick items. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this. An update on the 2017 festival director situation. I did formally approach Carol Sayers about the possibility. She had some initial interest, and I sent her some more information on it, and she's kind of milling it over, and she says she's kind of busy with the holidays picking up for her business, but she's going to want to touch base after the new year and have a further dialogue, but she's still considering it at this point.
Does she have some experience with this sort of thing?
No.
Not specifically with festival directing, but she has been involved with the IJA kind of behind the scenes for quite a long period of time.
This is Jim, and doesn't she also have some contacts with the local convention center there? Mike, do you know if that's true?
Well, she's lived in Cedar Rapids most of her life, and of course Doug is from there, and he's performed all over town for many years. She doesn't have any particular contacts with the city, but she knows the city very well, and she went with me on the site visit when we selected Cedar Rapids, so she's already familiar with all the facilities and, of course, familiar with the city. So those are her built-in qualifications, I guess you'd say.
This is Bob. Actually, probably after Mike talked to her or met her, I talked to her more recently, and yes,
she has actually found a childhood friend who works for the convention center. They went to school together and everything. So she's got connections throughout that area. She's hosted her own, a small fest there. But yeah, she doesn't have anything on this scale. But her connections and the availability there and the willingness to do it, I think, really help. And she's willing to take advice, which is great.
Elena, she's hosted a small fest. That's an advantage over having done nothing.
Yeah, no, she had done a small fest 1 year. In fact, they named it the Doug Fest. So, but I'm not sure if it still goes on or not, but it was a very small fest. But she knows what goes on. She's been to, you know, tons of our fests, tons of regional fests. So she knows what it is. So that she didn't jump at the chance, she shows me that she knows just how much work it is, which is good.
Yeah, and I talked to her in Kansas City as well and gave her a heads up. I think I might have scared her a little bit just in describing some of the planning that that Steve and I were doing. But I assured her that you know, with enough preparation, you know, that she could probably handle it. And I think she can, but she will definitely need a little bit of hand-holding.
All right. Any more on that? Moving on. Last item on Varia. We already kind of touched on this, but this is just basically the whole international payment methods thing. Bob was able to meet with some people. He kind of already went over that, but I have nothing new to add to this unless anyone else wants to say anything. With that in mind, we move on to setting our January meeting. Okay. So let's see, if we go Mondays, we could do Monday the 4th for the vision planning meeting, or possibly the 11th. Does anyone have a preference?
No.
Let's try to go with the 4th then. That's 2 weeks. And how does the 18th look for our next business meeting?
18 looks good.
I'm sorry, does that work for people? I can't hear you.
Looks good to
fine.
Me.
All right, let's go with the 18th. Okay, excellent, guys. Moving on to adjournment. Would anyone like to make the motion to adjourn? All right. Moving on to discussion, I apologize. This meeting went a little bit longer than anticipated, but a lot of stuff jumped up on the agenda at the last minute, but I'm very happy that we got through it and had a lot of resolve. So great work, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
You still there, Louie?
Yeah.
This is Aaron.
Wow. All right. Well, a little premature
there.
Do
you have a quorum to vote to adjourn?
I know, right? During this meeting.
Do it quick.
We have it. We adjourned.
Let me go vote. Does anybody oppose adjourning this meeting?
No.
Does anyone abstain? Meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Woo!
Thank you all so much. Awesome. Looking forward to the
work. Happy New Year and Happy Holidays, everybody.
Happy New Year.
16.
Happy New Year.
Bye.
Merry Christmas, y'all.
Happy Old Year.
Christmas.
Yeah.
Thank you.